everybody. I'm Mackenzie Atwood here with a new episode of the Steven Universe podcast because we have to talk about Diamond Days. The final episode of the Diamond Days arc and of Season 5 itself airs this Monday, January 21st, on Cartoon Network. So to get us ready for the Steven Universe season finale, we're going to recap the last four episodes. Legs from Here to Homeworld, Familiar, Together Alone, and Escapism, with Zach Callison, who voices Steven, Michaela Dietz, the voice of Amethyst, and Didi Magno-Hall, who voices Pearl.
Hello.
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 Incredible.
Totally unplanned. We have such synergy.
Wow. So let's talk Legs from Here to Homeworld. So this episode was crazy because, you know, the Diamonds have been the big bads for so long. So what was your reaction to seeing the Crystal Gems just getting right along with them?
I mean, at first it did weird me out a little bit, but then I thought about it and I decided it's cool. Progress is good, evolvement, like, let's develop this relationship. And I feel like, you know, they've been in that state for so long, it's really cool to see a whole new side of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was very happily, pleasantly surprised at how I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I thought, why can't we all just get along like the Diamonds? I mean, now.
It was a relief. Like, this is what Steven has been fighting for a while. And, it just feels like literally the start of a new era. They even call it that, but it felt like mm-hmm. a turning point in the narrative of the show. Like, you know, the Diamonds aren't these big, scary alien people anymore. They're ironically humanized in a way, which was really cool to see.
Yeah. It's cool seeing how, like, it just changed so fast as soon as they knew about Pink.
Yeah.
Because that really does change everything. One other thing that was fun was seeing Steven pilot the leg ship. What do you guys think about that? Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite part of that is when he's like, oh, mom must have not been so, must have been a lot more graceful when she took off. And Pearl's like, eh.
Not so much.
That was cute.
Yeah. I would have loved to see that too. But the legs is great.
It made me want to see Steven, like, go fly fishing or just wear, like, really tall galoshes. I need more of that in my life.
That's what fan art's for.
That's like the spinoff series, Steven Does Difficult Things.
Yeah.
So after the leg ship, we see Homeworld for the first time. What are your thoughts having come this far in the series?
I remember when, like, Rebecca sat us down and she's like, so guys, they're aliens. And, like, we found that out for the first time, and that was mind-blowing for us. And just to think back to that versus now we've gone to Homeworld and it was almost welcomed rather than, you know, as enemy territory. That's a huge change from where we started, and it really shows how far we've come.
Yeah, I feel you. The episode also premiered at San Diego Comic-Con. Do you guys remember when you, like, saw it for the first time?
Yeah.
I do, but I don't, because I was so focused on watching the jaws just drop to the ground from all the audience members. So I didn't really retain a lot of what I saw at Comic-Con.
It's always like the same reaction, similar reactions from audience members. Seeing new episodes, everybody's just like, oh my, what? Oh my God. And so I think that, I think that's what I remember.
That was great. Walla, Didi.
Yeah.
Like every little thing, like, has a reaction to it. And you can hear, like, obviously the big crowd reactions to certain things. Occasionally you'll hear somebody in the back, like, catch the most minor of details in the background. And it just really makes watching the episode so interactive. And the whole time, I just felt so smug because I was, you guys have no idea, because we were going to announce the movie afterwards. I'm like, y'all think this is it? There was just so much hype in one, like, 15-minute period.
Lots of mind-blown reactions.
But, like, considering how big the ballroom was, it was pretty quiet. I mean, people really wanted to just sort of, like, hang on every word.
Yeah, library style.
Yeah.
They're all about it.
What's up, Dewey Decimal? Oh,
just kidding. Not really.
Oh my gosh. The White Diamond reveal in particular.
Oh yeah.
What do you remember the moment that happened?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the, what? What? Oh my God.
I think I turned to Dee Dee and I was like, I like her shoes.
Yes.
I also said that today when we rewatched some episodes.
Because
I was like,
seriously, where does she get those shoes?
All the diamonds got pink. Pink's got to get really fly
great
shoes.
Style, yeah.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, I remember when Rebecca first showed me the character design for White, like, before we even did any of these episodes, and they were still finalizing it. I was like, this is going to make it one crazy reveal one of these days.
Yeah.
She's always been my favorite of all four of them.
Wow. And especially because the show itself is just chock full of color. And
right.
Then, you know, the absence of that is so shocking, and you really do pay attention.
Yeah, it's a really cool, like...
juxtaposition.
Yeah, yeah, metaphor.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to ask about was, like, do you guys remember when you saw the boards themselves for the first time? Like, you remembered seeing the design for White Diamond, but do you remember, like, recording this arc?
There's a lot of good memories, and just watching the episodes just now brought back a lot from, you know, this one, and Familiar was really cool as well. You know, some of the music, and there was so much I didn't know that was going to be put into them in the meantime, like background art and music-wise. Obviously, we don't see a lot of that until it comes out, but... there was some really new and interesting stuff going on in the background of these.
Mm.
Right. And you mentioned Familiar, so let's talk about that episode specifically coming up. Zach, Michaela, and Dee Dee are still with me. So let's talk about Familiar. And right off in this episode, we get introduced to the Pebbles, who are voiced by you, Zach, and Susan Egan, right?
Yeah. It was, we pussed around a little bit and experimented to get the sound right, and we knew they'd be pitching them in the end, but it ended up being this really fun exercise doing those.
How did you come up with a voice for the green one who sounds like me when I first wake up in the morning? So how did you get there?
Just that one particular one. Yeah. They're like, yo, what if we got something like completely different, like wildly different? So I just did like something like this, and then they pitched it up. And
I loved it.
Yeah, I don't even remember exactly like what he says.
He was like, hey, we got that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like some of them they just wanted us to make like whispering noises, and then some things we'd actually like say particular lines, but
it was very unexpected.
Yeah, that's one of the few times that Susan and I have gotten in the booth together, actually, obviously, because we very rarely cross paths in the show.
When that happens, do you guys just like have a prolonged embrace, or like what happens?
There's a vibe in the room. It's like we understand that this is a rare occurrence. Storm in the Room way back was the other one where it happened. But we were actually like Rose and Steven were sort of not really interacting, but this one was like a lot more lighthearted and fun because we were goofing off. And,
yeah.
No, I bet it was so fun.
So much adorableness.
Yeah. And it's a really cute episode all around.
So did you guys, Michaela and Dee Dee, were you guys just now seeing these for the first time?
I had a little sneaky peek.
Yeah.
Earlier.
You sound so guilty.
I do. But it was sanctioned, wasn't
because
it?
Because I can't, like, cannot
say
system.
a lie. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was
fine.
Sometimes when we're coming for records, Rebecca will be like, come upstairs, and she'll show us like 70 years into the future of whatever they're working on, and it's a nice look. And
I always enjoy that, and then I always try to just knock it out of my brain because I don't want to spoil anything. You know what I mean?
Like,
I always lose track of what the public knows. So
right. We really have to watch like what episode number was the last release.
Yeah.
You guys are really good about it, but you're not out here leaking anything.
No, never.
But about the gems and stuff, it's also just crazy seeing, we saw the pebbles, but we see a ton of different types of gems in this episode. Just like some of them are just like part of the architecture.
Oh, yes, and on the walls.
Yeah, it's crazy. What did you guys think when you saw all of those?
It's so classic, like Beauty and the Beast, like inanimate objects being animate. It was really, really cool. Rebecca was like telling us about some of them and like their purpose and what they do. And there's a lot of thought and detail that goes into that.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, like, how would you? I mean, maybe there's no comparison here because it's on Homeworld, but what would the equivalent to that be on Earth? Like, is that just like certain stone inlaid into walls or ceilings or furniture?
I'm not sure specifically about the ones that live in the wall, but that's got to be a strange existence, just like sitting on the wall and like gossiping about people that walk by like eternally.
And people say, if these walls could talk, and you're like, yeah, we could talk.
Yeah, stop
We're
talking about
now.
Us.
Yeah.
You're talking to me?
Yeah, stop talking.
Nah, yellow diamond. I got pink back. Look at that.
Tuck to the wall.
It's crazy, though. Like, just thinking about, like, you know, we've sort of heard about Homeworld's, like, view of gems as, like, you know, they're not even some, you know, they're not, like, their own people, but now seeing it is a totally different thing. What does it, like, make you think of seeing all of that?
It's interesting. They I mean, we knew that obviously Gem Society was, like, so regimented, but we hadn't seen it, like, in person this up close quite like this until now. And I know it jumps ahead a bit, but, and you know, at the ball where they're all dancing, like, you know, really orderly, and the ones in the walls, and, it, like, comparing those, like, to the familiars that are all, like, you know, like, fun and bubbly and doing their own thing, it's a very big difference between what most of Diamond Society is molded by and what Pink had in her own world and what she saw on Earth.
Yeah, I mean, my only... It just reminded me of, like, a dystopian future. Like, after everything's kind of crumbled and they have to cling to these rules. And, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. But I did enjoy seeing all the different faces. There are some face shapes in there that reminded me of the Off Colors.
There was one in particular that looked like...
The old lady.
Yeah.
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 I was going to say something earlier about the homeworld. Wasn't it kind of boring? Didn't it look kind of boring? And they did miss Pink, I think.
Yeah. It's opulent but empty.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah, it's cool seeing how all the gems are reacting to seeing Pink come back. Especially, you know, like, that comes back to the Pebbles. They're so excited about Pink being around again without really understanding, you know, what it means.
Yeah, like, when the Pebbles, like, they notice Steven wake up, and like, she's moving again. Like, why does he stop moving for 8 hours? Yeah. Like, that's not something they've ever dealt with before.
Yeah, they don't. All right.
They don't get it.
Wait, so is this the one where they help make Pink's outfit, Steven Pink's outfit? Okay,
yeah.
So that reminded me of the scene in Cinderella,
Oh, yeah.
With the little mice.
Oh. That was on purpose,
right?
Yeah.
That was sort of an homage.
Yeah, there's got to be.
I think it was, yeah. I know there was a lot of, like Princess in a Tower themes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. He looked great.
Oh, yeah.
No. He did. He rocks it.
Yeah.
I love it. Steven's song is also really, it's, like, so charming and cute, but, like, also really sad thinking about, you know, it kind of blew my mind thinking about how they're tying together Pink's relationship with the other diamonds and Steven's, like, relationship with the gems, like, early season one when he was sort of tagging along on their adventures and stuff and trying to make them laugh. What was it like recording that for you, Zach?
It was an interesting example of, like, coming full circle again, as we discussed earlier, and you know, had a lot of melancholy to it, but it's also inspiring because he's like, I've done this before, and, like, look how much progress we've made as a family. This is my other family. And I feel like he feels it in his heart, like, this is his role. This is what he does for people. And he, you know, he owes it to them to try to unite them and bring back this joy that he's discovered is missing. It's a beautiful song. I was so happy when it got put in front of me.
Oh, and you sound so beautiful.
Sound great.
Thank you, thank you. And
I love
Susan's
that
background
low
vocals
register.
are like, it's a contrast to that, because I'm a little further down, and they, like, pitched hers up a little bit, and she did the really high falsetto, and it's cool.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, the harmonies are great.
Yeah. So, like, thinking about those early episodes and the way that Steven was then, what is it like for you, Dee Dee and Michaela, like, thinking about how far the show has come since then?
Ooh, what's it like? I mean, I from the beginning, I could not have ever imagined that it would end up here at this point.
How could you know?
How could
anybody know?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I just kept being surprised and more surprised by the places the show went and how deep the story, the rabbit hole would go on the lore development and the emotional depth of the show. And I was just excited to, you know, be in a cartoon when we started, and then it just became richer and richer over time, and Rebecca's, like, master vision and plan was revealed, and it really was inspiring over time, to especially because I was, like, literally growing up in the middle of that. That's an amazing environment as a young artist. I'm thankful for that.
Well, it's also amazing how Rebecca created this show that means something to so many people, and how she was just so brilliantly able to maintain that throughout, even with, you know, different character arcs, tackling different issues. Every step of the way, it mattered. And to be a part of that, I just feel so privileged.
Yeah.
I concur.
Awesome. Beautiful. Okay, let's move on to the next episode in this arc, which is Together Alone. We've been talking about Diamond Days, and the next episode in this arc is Together Alone, and it starts off with a bang. Steven's having a nightmare about Pink Diamond.
Oh, it was terrifying.
Yeah, with like the hair and Yellow Diamond's giraffe neck.
I literally say while we were watching, I was like, that's a giraffe.
It's like a horror movie.
Can't tell me that's not a giraffe.
Yeah, what were you guys' reactions to that?
It was like a horror movie.
I actually was a little envious. There are many times when I want to look over a fence or look around a corner. I mean, if I had that ability, I would never trip. I would always know what was up.
Amethyst is definitely capable of doing that.
Yeah. Oh, I think so. I think so. Michaela Dietz, however, no.
No.
Maybe one day.
Through the power of a very, very talented chiropractor. Yeah, it was freaky, man. It's like some people are going to really have to turn the lights on while they're watching this episode.
What do you think the coughing up of the hair symbolizes?
It's got to be.
I need like a dream book, you know? Like, dream interpretation.
I mean, Pink is
101.
Like, Pink is within him, like somehow, some way, even though he doesn't have any memory of it. And it's like, you know, it's getting in the way of his life. It's choking him up. It's like pouring out from him, but he has no awareness of where he comes from and why it's happening. It's just, and everybody else knows, but he doesn't.
And maybe the pink hair is the one thing that he doesn't have. So it's like,
it's an element of what he was, but not what he is now.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was lion, you know, lion, cats, and they, you know, have fur balls.
Oh.
Are you saying that, that this entire arc has been lion in a Steven costume?
I'm just saying that maybe. It's there.
I feel like as the voice actor Steven, they probably should have told me this at some point. My motivations are all messed up.
Or maybe they shouldn't have. You delivered authentic performance.
Yeah, I made for a more impressive disguise.
Exactly.
Without me knowing.
But after the dream, Steven and his friends, the Gems, are definitely, you know, shaking things up on Homeworld. Where do you think their heads are at, seeing everything, like, just like the way that they're being judged and perceived by the Diamonds and Homeworld society?
They seem to have a pretty good sense of humor about it. Like, they know this is not their turf. They know to some degree Steven needs something from the Diamonds. They have to, you know, be respectful. They have to kind of fall in line to some degree.
Mm-hmm. I feel like humor is a coping mechanism for this group these days, because they've been through a lot.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they all have implicit trust in Steven. Like, only you can do this, Steven. That's full circle from where it came from. Now he has the full trust and support of his family to do these kinds of things because he's grown enough.
Oh, yeah. Our baby. It's all grown.
You're talking about me or Steven?
Both.
Amazing. So one of my favorite things from this episode is Steven's like interactions with the other pearls. What was it like playing that up?
Oh, where are the party pearls at?
Oh my gosh.
I loved when Steven said that. Okay, party pearls. He said something like party pearls. Yeah.
That's pretty great, yeah.
I love when Blue Pearl's like, I like to draw. It was so cute.
Yeah.
I would love to see that spinoff of the pearls.
Yeah. Artistic
what happens
endeavors.
When four pearls?
Oh my god!
Like our pearl gets like stranded on a desert island with Blue and Yellow Pearl, and like White Pearl is like malfunctioning in the corner. It's like a buddy sitcom.
That would be interesting.
Like a K-pop girl pearl band.
Oh my gosh! What was it like? So you've sort of come to adopt each of these different pearls' voices, what was it like sort of switching between them? Because this is a lot of screen time for these guys.
Yeah. You know, Michaela was just asking me, how do I distinguish the difference between the two? Are the three, well, the three, but it's with a lot of help from Rebecca. And also I have to replay past.
Oh,
they'll replay past recordings so that I can get back into those voices. But yeah, they were pretty, they're so much fun to do.
Weren't there like specific references for, one for Yellow was like a
telephone operator.
Yeah, an operator.
Yeah.
Can you do more? Can you do a line? Because I love that.
Oh, gosh. I need a line. I need tell me what to say.
House of Beauty, this is Cutie.
House of Beauty, this is Cutie.
Yes. New ringtone, what's up?
But Blue is more like a mashup of, I think Rebecca mentioned like Betty Boop and Marilyn Monroe.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That kind of, yeah.
Mm.
It's fun. So fun.
So another thing we saw, White Pearl, who you do not voice, what's it like seeing someone else's voice coming out of a pearl?
I was a little bit sad, but I understand.
I understand. You know, Rebecca has a vision, and she's had this vision for how long, we don't know, you know.
It's kind of scary to see another voice come out of a pearl. It adds to the fear factor.
It also made me do a double take. I was like, you sound so different. Oh, it's not you. Okay. Who is that?
Yeah. It really does. It gives like an impersonator vibe. It's like kind of horrifying.
Yeah, like Uncanny Valley almost.
Yeah.
A reference we don't know.
You know, like when you see like something that looks like almost human but isn't quite, like an art or something, and it like gives you like a really uncomfortable feeling in the pit of your stomach.
Like a robot. Mm-hmm.
Sort of. Like a wax figure that's like almost looks human but not quite. It's like that's Uncanny Valley. That gives you that sensation.
Got it. Uncanny Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Taking note.
Cool.
So the ball that they all go to is crazy. I remember very distinctly seeing like the gems with like they kind of locked into each other like gears and were turning and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was like a giant like ballet of like robots and stuff. It was crazy. What did you guys think when you were watching it?
I think the music really really added to that feeling too. It felt mechanical.
Yeah, the music was bizarre. I'm guessing that's Ivy and Shirashu.
It's got to be.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's kind of freaky.
Kind of small worldish like.
Yeah, but like the nightmare version.
Yeah.
It felt like a weird animatronics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It wasn't like let's play circus. It was like let's play circus.
We also saw everybody kind of start fusing and stuff.
Oh, that was a best.
Oh, yeah.
For like 2 seconds.
I must admit, I screamed really loud when Opal formed.
Yeah.
Opal, yes.
I was like, whoa! We've been waiting for so long.
The fandom always says Hopal for Opal.
Yeah.
Hopal for Opal.
Which I really love.
I was like ready for an awesome fight sequence. I was ready
for
the
throwdown.
Yeah,
they just cut it. Then you kind of are reminded of how strong the diamonds really are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When they just sort of poof everyone in an instant. It's crazy.
It's humbling for sure for the gems.
Yeah. It was crazy seeing those two gems that were just in the crowd.
Yes. And Garnet was just
like
oh.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like, funny. Okay, I guess we'll just go with this. Yeah. But it does show, you know, like how many gems there are out there that are probably living, you know, sort of feeling like they don't belong, but it was sweet and sad,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It also felt very meta for the show in a way, you know, very reflective.
What do you mean?
Well, I just feel like, I think myself included, I think people who watch who watch Steven Universe, they sometimes feel like maybe they're the only ones living with or feeling a certain way or, and I think, you know, it takes someone to either give them a voice or, which like Rebecca has certainly done, but like within the gem world, You know, it took Garnet, it took Stefani, it took Opal for that other person in the crowd to be like, oh yeah, this is safe. This is a safe space and I'm going to be me.
Mm-hmm. I love that they set that gem fusion at the end there, the two stranger gems, yeah. That they set it up earlier when the diamonds were coming in and they were like nudging each other.
Oh, right. That was them.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was them.
Oh, I love that.
I didn't even notice that.
I thought it was just a cute little moment they were having, but it led somewhere.
It was a cute little moment.
Yeah, so that brings us to escapism. And that's the song that Rebecca played for us on this podcast last summer. We got the exclusive from her, but we'll hear what it was like for Zach to record some harmonies on the song and what he, Michaela, and Didi thought when they finally saw the episode. So let's talk escapism. Okay, so this is actually crazy because escapism was a song that we heard on the podcast first. It was a podcast exclusive over a year ago. So that it's really cool to hear in an episode. What did you guys think when you saw it?
Oh, heard the song. It's beautiful.
One of my new favorites. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And Zach, you got to record some like harmonies and stuff for it, right?
Yeah, just some small stuff. But I always love when I can like jump on a song because then otherwise if I don't do harmonies or backgrounds on something, I don't hear it until it comes out. So I was very, very happy to get a little preview of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this episode was crazy. We saw Watermelon Steven Society develop, which is...
Wow!
Yeah! What did you guys think about seeing just how, you know, while everything's been going on, this whole society has been... You know, changing in the background? What were your thoughts?
It's a little problematic. They're growing at a rapid rate, and obviously the ecology of the region is being affected, judging by the shark, which can't be good for the Earth in the future, and they may have to, like, take down the Watermelon Kingdom at some point in a future episode.
It's an invasive species.
Exactly.
Zach, Steven didn't think about the ramifications of creating.
No, I think... I think it's a dangerous game he's playing.
Yeah.
We shouldn't give a child the powers to create a whole society without telling him the consequences. I don't even know. That was a long time ago. He must have been even younger when he breathed life into these fruit people.
Yeah, that was like season one.
Is that like 12?
Yeah, it was.
12? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think
he's probably like 12.
12 back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Those tweens.
I would not trust 12-year-old me with that text.
Was it just me, or did that episode remind you of Castaway?
Totally.
Yeah.
And Jaws?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, like, this Dr. Seuss book about star-bellied something. Did you name you
not,
guys
not that particular
book?
One, but I got the Seussian vibe for sure.
Yeah, there was this book about like some of the people had stars on their bellies and some of them didn't, and it was like, I don't even know. The message was like about like don't judge people or something. I don't even remember, but I feel like there was a reference here just because of the stars. But I mean, that is also a thing, you know, in the show. So
I love during the shark attack how even in this completely new form, Steven was so true to himself. Like there was a moment where you thought maybe he was going to try to spear the fish, but really then he used empathy. And it was such a loving, beautiful moment. And it was like, oh, Steven, even when you can't use words. Or
only Steven could make
a
sharp shark blush.
Yeah, it was touching.
But on the tribal thing, the ones with the spears versus the ones with the stars, I'm having this pet theory form in my head that like the ones with the stars are like the loyalists to Steven, and they like remember their creator and like deify him, and the other ones are like, no, we have to move on, and that's what they're fighting about, and they're growling. This isn't canon. I'm just like theorizing here. Maybe they remember the star on his shirt, and the other ones are like, that guy put us on this island, so no.
Zach, was it tough to carry this whole episode with just watermelon sounds?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'd done it in smaller doses before, but when I got this, I was like, what are we doing today? And it ended up being really fun. I love offbeat sessions like this one. You know, anything that's weird, and like Garnet Universe was a really fun episode from way back that like totally like flipped the formula and did something really crazy. And this one was really cool. And like there's so much crazy stuff going on with the Homeworld arc. It's like literally like escapism. Like it's an episode about something totally different that it actually ties back in. And we see this thing that like nobody has been aware of the entire time. I really enjoyed it.
Was it rough on your voice vocal? Like, is it harder to do the grunting than to speak normal?
Not so much. If we might have done all Steven's lines first so I could do that and not have to worry about my voice for the rest of the day. But no, those particular grunts don't strain me too much unless I like do them really, really loud. But a lot of them were just like stuff. And then the dog noises. We had me do like the dog noises I normally do for Pumpkin, but with like a little bit of that watermelon thing going on.
Right.
So that's where that came from.
Cool. Mm.
You know how sometimes in our sessions, Rebecca will be like, okay, now do one take and just be weirder. Like, get weirder.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Did she do that a lot for this ep?
Definitely.
Or was the bar already like so high?
There were definitely moments. I mean, because it's an episode where like there's way less rules because obviously like there's no words.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more freedom to do it. Although there were certain ones where Rebecca's like, I want you to grunt like this specific phrase so that like there's one where like Steven runs back into the forest to get supplies for the boat. And the other Steven, like the farmer Steven calls after him like, who's going to build a raft? But like with less diction.
Yeah.
You got to convey it with just
get through
that
the raft.
Seems like a challenge. So yeah, like you said, this is definitely an escapism from the main conflict, but things are still sort of obviously building to a climax. How does it feel just to be coming full circle with all these characters you've been together with for so long?
Oh, it's so bittersweet. I feel like we've grown as individuals with these characters. Mm-hmm. We've grown as a family, you know, the actors and the characters together. I feel like it feels like we're entering into a very, very different phase. And while it's lovely, it's also quite sad. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Steven Universe has literally been one third of my life I have spent on this show. I started when I was 14. I'm 21 now. So
wait, the pilot was 7 years ago?
2012.
Wow.
January of 2012.
That's some crazy stuff right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been like the most formative element of my life and like coming up and it was always, you know, a really great space for me as a young artist to be around, you know, legendary people and an amazing family of voice actors and people like Rebecca who inspired me to do my own projects and really, really craft them carefully with precision and with as much thought put in as possible. It's hard to describe in a few sentences because like Steven Universe has been like my teenage and adult life in a lot of ways. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's all-encompassing.
I feel like, even though I'm probably the oldest one here, or in this cast, but, like, I felt
really?
The greenest. I think I might be. But anywho, that's not important. I was going to say that I felt like I was the greenest coming into doing voiceover acting because this was my first, like, really big voice over job, and to land a show like Steven Universe is kind of amazing and wonderful. And it's been such an exciting journey and experience to work with everybody and to learn as I was working with them how this all is pieced together. But it is, like Michaela said, bittersweet, but I am so happy that we're able to go on this journey together and see how Rebecca's vision is unfolding before our eyes and how it's been so wonderfully embraced by the audience and the fans.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, well, thank you guys so much for coming on and talking to me.
Aw,
thanks, Mackenzie.
Good to hear from you.
Yes.
It's been good.
And thanks to everyone out there.
Yes.
Yeah, guys.
Thank you. We love you.
What she said.
Yeah, the ditto.
The Steven Universe podcast is produced by Stacey Parra, Charles Abadji, and Conrad Montgomery. Special thanks to Rob Sorcher, Cartoon Network Studios, The Crooniverse, and Turner Studios in Atlanta. And thanks to all of you guys for listening every week. We really appreciate it. You can listen and subscribe to the Steven Universe podcast for free. free at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on Amazon and Google smart speakers. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I'll see you next Thursday.